I want to briefly speak on the subject of blessings to the obedient in being generous and giving. The pastor did a wonderful job on the subject last week, and why I'm following up, I'm not totally sure, other than there's one aspect that I want to emphasize here just for a few minutes. And you've got some notes in front of you. I'm not going to cover all of those subjects. I got to thinking about the subject, and I think, you know, there's a whole lot of things that I would like to say, but I don't have the time and I don't have the opportunity to do that. But I'm going to take one of them that I feel passionate about. I thought of immediately when they asked me if I would do this, I thought of the words of the psalmist David. He said, I was young and now I am old and I have yet to see the righteous begging bread. And I said to myself, I was young and now I am old. And I have yet to see those who are generous and obedient that are not blessed. Do you understand what I just said? I'm now 80. In 1962-3, when I was preparing to marry that beautiful lady that sits by me back here and tries to keep me going straight, we talked about our commitment to God, tithing and giving, and we said we are going to do that. We now have practiced that for nearly 60 years, and we have never been without. We have had our needs met, and many of our wants have been met. And I could tell you story after story after story, and Ann said, you know, you don't want to tell all those stories, and I don't want to tell all those stories because some of you will say, you know, goody two-shoe, are you bragging? What, you know, why are you telling all those stories? But sometimes I think a story gives you an illustration what helps you understand what I'm trying to get at. So I'll tell a couple stories, tell a couple on myself. What's the motivation? Why do we give? Why do we pay tithe? We serve a God who loves us, has always loved us. He continues to love us. He has forgiven us. He saved us. He's put us on a road to eternal life. Why wouldn't we be enthusiastic about giving to him and being thankful to him? There are multitudes of scriptures, and I'm only going to pick two or three of them this morning. And if you're looking at your notes, I'm going to focus on just number two. But first, we give because God loved us. Secondly, he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Thirdly, he said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know what? You are my treasure. In this sense, I tithe to this church, and because I do that, God has given me a love or a want to see all of you be blessed with the same blessing that we've been blessed with. I want to see God's blessing in your life. And so in that sense, you're my treasure. And I want the best for you, every one of you. When I say I am talking about the elders of this church, want the best for every one of you. And I know that as you walk in obedience to God's word, he will bless you. And if you look for it, you will see blessings in your life that there's no explanation for except that God has done it. In 1982, I try to read the Bible through every year. Just, I think it's good for me. And I decided in 82 I would circle all of the ifs and the thens, if, then, as I read through the Bible this year. I got through the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, and decided, you know, I'm going to wear out my pens and my Bible. There are if, thens, which are contingency. The if, then are talking about blessings and curses all the way through those five books. What I want to focus on is primarily the blessings. But whenever you see an if and a then as you read scripture, obviously you need to contextualize. What I mean by that is you need to know who it was written to, why it was written, what the purpose was, and what the application might be to us today. What the application might be to God's followers, Jesus' followers. So remember, when you see an if, look for the then. When you see God say something, look what follows, what the blessing might be. We don't give to get, okay? There are groups out there in the world today, religious groups, that I call up the name it and claim it crowd, okay? That isn't what I'm talking about. God is sovereign, and he knows how to bless us, and he will bless us in his way and his timing. We don't demand God to do anything or give us anything. But we have a God that loves us and has promised to bless us if we will put him first. Who do we give to? What do we give? You know, the word tithe means a tenth part. And in the Levitical and the priestly system that God told Moses to set up, he started out by saying the people are to give a tenth part to support the spiritual leaders of Israel, the priests and the Levites. Over in Malachi and other places, it says to bring the tithe to the storehouse. And the storehouse is talked about in a couple places as the place or to those who have your best interest in mind and are your spiritual leaders. So we give to the local church the tenth part. But the scripture also says we are to give offerings. And the scripture says if you put it all together, where should the offerings go? I made a quick list of some of them here. I don't see them in my notes, but it says to ministries, to missions, to one place it says to the fatherless, to the widows in distress, to the poor, to the children without fathers or mothers. There is a whole, if you watch for it, there's many places that the scripture says we are to give. Now, I want to tell a story or two that have to do with blessings. You know, I think I'll read a passage. There are many texts, but I'm going to read one over in 2 Corinthians, and I don't need to give much explanations because it's self-explanatory. In chapter 9, starting with verse about 6, before I read that, over in chapter 8, Paul said to the Corinthians, "See that you excel in the gift of giving." He starts out this section of scripture with that, saying that. And then he goes on to say, starting in verse 6, "Remember this, Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Now, that's pretty all-inclusive about a whole lot of things, blessings related to giving. I'm going to suggest that it fits into three categories. God will provide, he will prosper, and he will protect. And I could give you lots of stories on those three subjects. But maybe stories that will illustrate what God has shown me, how he takes care of the little things as well as bigger things. This last week, let's use last week as an example. Last week, let's take the word prosper first. Over in fact, I want to read a verse in Proverbs Proverbs chapter 3, God personifies himself as wisdom in the book of Proverbs. As you read the book of Proverbs, wisdom says, it's God says. And God says, wisdom says, my son, do not forget my teachings, but keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. There are several things that get emphasized there, but first of all, in the second verse, they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Several times the scripture promises prosperity. What does that mean? I'm not totally sure, but we have an idea that it's giving us probably not only all we need, but more than we need. A verse of scripture which is probably familiar to many of you is Jeremiah 29. God said, I want to prosper you. I have plans for you that will prosper you if you walk in obedience to my word. I started to say this week, how can I illustrate how God maybe has prospered us? Most of you know I have livestock. I have cattle. And my cattle tend to have a bit of a reputation of being particularly healthy and particularly productive. I say that because the national average is the average rancher gets about 88% of his cows have calves each year. Well, for the last many, many years, I've had 100% calves. I thank God for that, and I think God did it. Most ranchers spend significant money every year doctoring cattle. I haven't spent any years, any money doctoring cattle. And it's not me, it's God's blessing. God prospering me in that sense, or prospering us in that sense. Now, I told, Ann and I were discussing before Christmas, it's time to sell the cows, or time to sell most of the cows. So I started trying to put together a plan as to how I would advertise and sell the cows, and got about that far, and I got a call from a rancher that I had sold cattle in eastern Montana 5 years ago. He said, somebody told me you wanted to sell cows. I want to buy your cows. And he said, I want to buy them all, or anything you'll let me have. So he shows up last Monday and hauls away 33 out of 43 of the cows. I consider that God helping me prosper. Okay, that's one way he helped us prosper. Yesterday, I sold a load of firewood. Last Saturday, I sold a pocket knife. So my mind process is, I'm going to give out of those receipts, that of the sale of the knife and the sale of the cows and the sale of the wood. If I do that, I believe I am obeying God's word. And as I obey, he blesses. And he blesses me in not just materially. Don't get me started on my grandkids. Okay? But I have children and grandchildren that love God and are doing fantastic. And it's not what I did, it's what God is doing in their lives. And I believe it in some way or other goes back to Ananias' commitment to tithing and giving and trying to live life generously with people. We can live life generously with people by the way we act, the way we react, the way we show interest, the way we care. Over in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 is a verse that I think of pretty often. God says, show your love to me by the way you care for his people. Now, that's Howard's translation, but that's really what it says. You show your love to me by the way you help his people, in another translation. Over in James chapter 1, he says, true religion is this, caring for orphans and, in one case, one translation, the destitute widow, or those that are in need within your congregation or within your knowledge that have needs. The world has learned the principle of giving. It has always been with us. We don't give with the same motives, but giving, even from the world's perspective, produces a benefit to us. Can I give a couple of those illustrations? Some of you know me as a bit of a knife collector, a pocket knife collector. In 1969, a salesman came to my door, and he said, somebody told me you like pocket knives. I didn't know the man. I'm a chemical salesman. I wanted to sell you chemicals. But he said, I brought you something. And he walks up and drops on my desk before I could say no, a very nice shred-cut pocket knife made in the early 60s. Well, immediately I gave him audience. Okay, immediately I gave him audience. I had to listen because of the knife he plopped in front of me. To make a long story, I bought thousands of dollars worth of chemicals from that man. I bought thousands of dollars of chemicals from that man because he gave me a premium, because he gave to me. Now, John's story just rolls on and on and on. God gave me a love for that man, and I prayed for him almost every day for 40 years, and he finally came to Christ. But it started over a gift that he gave me. He ended up being my hunting partner for quite a few years, and God gave me a burden for him. And at the end of his life, he made a commitment of his life to Christ. And it all started because of that gift. If you understand politics and what makes politics go around in this country and in the world, it's all gifts. It's all the bottom line. In 1982, the Washington Healthcare Association asked me if I go to Washington, D.C. and lobby for some healthcare issues we needed in Washington State. And I said, yes, I'll do that. But we'll have a little orientation for you before you go. So they did, and they gave me a pocket full of checks. Said, now go and get the attention of senators and House members and tell them our story and what our needs are. So I went to Washington, and I go to the office, and the secretary says, you know, what are you here for? And I said, is there any possibility I can see Senator or Representative so-and-so? And she starts to say no until I pull a check out of my pocket and said, I want to give him a check and talk to him a minute. She jumps up and runs into the inner office and said, so-and-so is here, and they got a check for you. And she walks out. He said, yeah, he can see you for just a minute. So I walk in and give him a check and tell him my story. That happens every day, all day in Washington and every legislator in our country. A gift opens the door for audience in the world. Well, if it does that in the world, what does it do in the church and everywhere else? A gift gives us audience. And a gift to God gives us audience to God. He will respond to those who are obeying him and giving to him. And giving to him in the way he has asked. He has asked us to support the spiritual leaders, the storehouse where we meet, where we are fed from his word. He also asks us to give and care for his people, but the poor, the needy, and to communicate the gospel around the world. That's where our giving should be. What should our giving be? I told a friend of mine just over a week ago, that I was going to talk on this subject a little bit today. And he said, well, you know, that's only an Old Testament concept, isn't it? I said, no. It's a New Testament concept as well. Jesus told the Pharisees that they ought to tithe in the New Testament. The writer of Hebrews is quick to point out that the whole idea of giving and tithing happened 500 years before Moses presented the tithing to Israel. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, and he's saying or assuming that we're going to tithe as Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. A verse of scripture that is probably quite familiar to you, I'd like to read from Malachi. It needs very little explanation, but it's a verse that needs to be read. The book of Malachi was was the last book of the Old Testament. My Bible doesn't seem to have it anymore, but it might come up here. I can almost quote it. I've got it written down here. I was going to read more than what I wrote down, but I'll find it. Okay, here it is. Starting with about the 9th verse, Malachi is a summary of God's dealing with Israel throughout their history and what they hadn't done and what they should be doing. That's what the little book of Malachi, 4 chapters, is about. And you get to the 3rd chapter, starting in about verse 9, God said to Israel, and he's saying to his people everywhere, return to me, and I will return to you. And you say, how are we to return? God said, you rob me. But you ask, how do you rob me? God said, in tithes and offerings, you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Back in Deuteronomy, God said, if you will tithe and give and obey me, you will have so much in your barns that you will have to move it out because you don't have room for the new crop. We have many illustrations where God says, in the words of others, you can't outgive me. Because you give to me, I will provide you. I was talking to Bill Tuesday morning at men's breakfast in here, and Bill said, Bill, are you here? No, you're gone. Okay. Bill said, show me your checkbook and I'll show you your priorities and your values. And that's true. The way we spend and use our money tells us about who we are and what we believe in and what our priorities are. You know, there's 6 or 7 points to this message, and that's one. I think, well, I'm going to just about stop with one, other than to wrap it up by saying, God's will for each one of you is that you give to him and his causes and his issues. That's one. And number two, he will bless you if you obey on this point. He will bless you if you obey on this point. There's all kinds of scriptures that bring that out. You know, Jesus said in Matthew and in Luke and other places, with the same measure you use, you will receive. Do you want more forgiveness? Do you want more grace? Do you want more mercy? Do you want prosperity? Do you want protection? Do you want provision? You can finish it. Be gracious. Be more forgiving. Be merciful. More merciful. Be more generous, and as you do that, it will come back. Last night, I happened to be flipping through TV, to television for a minute to listen to some music, and a singer by the name of Red Sovine from the 50s stepped up and I stopped and listened, and he sang a song that he wrote or helped write from Ecclesiastes chapter, I looked it up, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. The song goes, cast your bread upon the waters, and in many days it will come back to you. Ann and I have tried to live that way. And there isn't a day goes by for months and years that we don't think of God's blessing. We are unworthy of those blessings, and yet they keep rolling in. Now, it's not that we get everything we want, but we certainly have had everything we need and many of our wants. I want you to be blessed with the blessing that God has available to you, because you've obeyed and you've lived generously with God's issues and God's people and the people he wants us to be a blessing to. With that, I'm going to stop and turn it over to James. Did you get the message? God wants to bless you.